WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
The final time, there was a contractual obligation. It's come and gone. The end of Goldberg has happened. We'll talk about it. This is Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive chat. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite app shop because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
For that sound check whenever you are.
Yeah. You ready for it now? You're ready?
Yeah. Oh, okay, hey, we can. All right, cool. It works. We're good.
He's on top of the ball tonight, chat. He's on top of the ball.
We I'm have here. One. That's all that matters.
We have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I also make noises and sound on the internet.
And someone who's been doing that for over 20 years. It's the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh my God, you're making me feel old, but that's okay because kind of I am. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. Streaming live on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Join us in the live chat room and join people like the lovely Lindsay Ward. She's there. Hi, Lindsay. And tonight we're going to talk Saturday night's main events. Yeah.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Saturday night's main event. Evolution is happening right now, so if you're enjoying it, you're enjoying it. If you enjoyed AEW All In Texas, which was 7 hours of wrestling content, we talked about it on CB Radio last night. The podcast is now available at CBRadioLive.com. But it's been a wrestling-filled weekend. But coming out of the show on Saturday night seemed to be an injury. For one, Seth freaking Rollins, that kind of might be screwing up some plans for WWE, guys.
That was a legit injury? He wasn't just selling?
No.
Backstage with a brace and crutches tonight, apparently, according to a couple of reports.
Owie.
Yeah, Rock and I were watching that when we were watching AEW, and as soon as we saw it, we both just went, oh, that's not good. That is not good. And the fact of, like, when Seth immediately, like, grabbed the ref and was just like, it's hurt. We're going home. It's hurt.
Yeah.
And LA Knight... Well, and it was also weird because it's like you saw LA Knight doing that kind of like stirring of like he wants to keep going. And then he got the word of like, okay, we're going home now. So he goes, he hits the BFT and just immediately like, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah, you saw you saw Jessica Carr immediately go to her waist and hit the button to talk to the back. And like, he's really hurt. He's really hurt. Yep. We got to do something here. Like,
yeah. And then later I found a video of, so Seth had one of the doctors under each arm, or one of the medical crew under each arm, and they get to the end of the aisleway, and he basically lets them know, like, he can't go through Gorilla, so they have to take that side, that left turn, and go straight to the back that way, because he couldn't, like, angle himself and all of that. And it was just like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's not good. Mm-mm.
Was that the same knee that he had messed up earlier in his career?
I hate to say it, I hope so, because if he also blew out the other knee,
that would be really bad.
Yeah. If it's one that he's already had surgically repaired, it's like, okay, maybe they go in and touch up a bit, you know? I don't know.
It's like Nashville and the one quad coming back and blowing the other one.
But, I mean, as Rock touched on, this is one of those injuries that is huge for the fact of it derails a lot of plans if he's out for a significant time.
It's the same thing that happened with Liv, where she was involved in many programs on Raw as the top heel. Now Seth is the top heel for the men. He's connected to a lot of programs.
Yeah, he's got
on the fly.
He's got the group. He's got the Money in the Bank contract. Those are two big set pieces if you're booking right now.
Add in probably something to do with Roman Reigns here coming up soon. He has the stuff with CM Punk, Sami Zayn, everything that's kind of, everything centered around Seth Rollins. So if he's out for a long time, that's devastating to their creative.
And part of it.
He just landed wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came off doing the, was it the lion salt, essentially, and just landed on his leg, and he either blew it out or severely tweaked it.
And if it's just a tweak, that's, you know, they can recover. If it's surgical, like an ACL, MCL type thing.
Yeah, if it's like an arthroscopic thing that you can get away with, okay, that's 2 months, probably.
Yeah, you can get through SummerSlam, you can get through Clash, and he could still appear on television.
Yeah, he, especially if it's a scope, he can still be there on crutches and be an arrogant little shit, just to remind you he's there. If it's a full-out, like you said, ACL, MCL kind of thing, where it's going to take 4 to 6 months at least to come back, that's when it's like, we need to probably take him fully off and rewrite whatever we have going.
Which is quite unfortunate.
It is, especially because they've had to do it before.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the... Because I'm thinking back to the video from when he blew out the knee the first time. I think it was the same knee. When he flipped over on the powerbomb, was it Kane, I think
the
it was? Yeah. When they were... they were overseas and it happened. And he blew out his knee. The fact that nothing has really come out about it... It's kind of worrying it a little bit too, because they probably, if they're swelling, they're probably waiting for it to go down before they
MRI it,
I guess.
Yeah, because the thing is if you've blown out the leg, you've got to give it a day or two before you can do the MRI properly because of all the swelling, in order to get a proper image of what is going on there.
Yeah.
We got a question in the chat room about Cross taking over if Seth is out for a long time.
No.
I don't think that can work. Cross isn't high up enough on the totem pole.
But you have Heyman.
There's a bit of an audible, but throwing Cross immediately into like a world title picture, essentially, no, that you find something else that you do with that.
Yeah, and you could focus around Braun Breaker as the star, or put them as a tag team, and Heyman's your guy to carry it. They can figure out from there. It just your big plans for the fall probably have to be rewritten if Seth Rollins is out for a while. But yeah, he was also scheduled to win against LA Knight. And they had to call the audible. But there was one report that, you know, he was already injured, and then this is all a work. But you look at the match, the way it ended, that's terrible work.
if this is just, oh, we're protecting Seth, that was a really bad way of doing it. Because the way it all came across did not look good.
it didn't look good at all. But there was one report that said it, so, you know, you gotta... If it comes back, it's a work. And there's your story.
It wasn't SRS, right?
No.
Okay, yeah, then.
There are more stars were needed for that one.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't believe that bullshit.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just throwing what's being reported on the internet.
I get that, but that man hasn't been relevant in 20 years, aside from providing arbitrary rankings.
That everyone loves. Also on this show was the U.S. Championship on the line when Solo Sikoa defended his title against Jimmy Uso.
Big bro.
What do we think of this one?
It was good. It was better than the last time we had two Usos fighting each other.
That is true.
To be fair, I'm just going to put that out there. The last time we had two Usos did not go over well.
Well, it was definitely not something unexpected, the match itself.
Well, and I think the thing is when Jimmy and Jay went at it, it was all for the story. They were slightly handcuffed in terms of what they could do in the match, or at least they ended up doing handcuffing in the match. But, like, Solo can play up more being a complete asshole, because that's his new character now, is just being a dick. And so he can talk up if he needs to. He can throw in some more power moves that Jimmy doesn't have in his arsenal. And, I mean, ultimately this match was to get you to, not the end result, but what happened after the end result. So, in my opinion, it was successful for what it needed to do at that point as well.
Which became the return of Jacob Fatu after the match ended. So, which will probably lead to Solo and Jacob one more time coming up at SummerSlam, one would assume?
With a pit stop or two here and there in between.
I mean, we're 3 weeks away from SummerSlam, so it's not really more pit stops remaining till we get there.
Oh, you got like, what, how many? Three SmackDowns?
Three SmackDowns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I assume that's where we're headed for SummerSlam between the two. The match a couple weeks ago wasn't bad. It should be all right coming up at SummerSlam because they have two nights to fill. So
yeah, I think the match with those two is going to step up a notch, especially because now we know what to expect somewhat with the, was it MFT?
Yeah, they're MFT now. No longer a bloodline, they're MFT.
So, oh, things are getting interesting. So I think with you know the MFT is somewhat involved here with this, so it's not as much of a shocker as we had just recently with them. Kind of are like, okay, so these are the shenanigans, and it's going to be like, what is the counter?
Yeah. So you have Jimmy as the counter, but who else? Oh.
Yeah. They just went there.
They went there.
Ew, there it is. Rock, do you want to... should we do spoiler alert?
Spoiler, ladies and gentlemen, for Evolution. There was a Money in the Bank cash in just now. We have a brand new women's world champion, Naomi.
Proceed with caution, y'all.
Yeah, you could have held off on that spoiler. I'm not there yet.
Well, that's sorry for you being delayed. I don't know
why. What to tell you. Casting
bastards. First, so that's when my internet stays connected.
So Rhea gets screwed again. Well, this is going to make SummerSlam very interesting.
It's going to make things a lot more interesting. So now she's on Raw away from Bianca and Jade. That's interesting. Really, really interesting.
But okay, more thoughts on Evolution will come on Thursday.
We'll talk more Evolution on Thursday, yeah. But that was a wild cash-in that just happened live. No one was thinking she would really cash in on this match. Everyone thought it would have been the other one.
Yeah, that's kind of a surprise.
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
But like you said, it also moves her away from the big... it moves her away from Jade and Tiffany. So now that match will be set for SummerSlam.
Yep.
And what's going to be very interesting is after SummerSlam, there's Crown Jewel and...
Clash.
Well, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, Crown Jewel is where you put the Ultimate Championship on the line, right? That's where they did it in Saudi last year.
Yeah.
So maybe in Australia, we may get Naomi versus Jade or Bianca for the big belt, essentially.
Good. We really, really could.
Because that would ratchet that feud up another notch.
No, they said there was... It may not be for the belt, but there was promotion saying it would be champion versus champion at Crown Jewel.
Right, because that's how they did it last year. And I know that the belt is something in Saudi, but you can at least do the quote-unquote bragging right type of thing.
And they can always use the belt, and it doesn't... With them going to Saudi three times next year, I think they'll be okay with them putting the bell on the line if need be. Yep. So, yeah. Anyway, back to Saturday night's main event with that little bit of distraction out of the way. Solo Sikoa did, in fact, retain the United States Championship, as we were talking about before. But the other big angle that came out of it was kind of started on SmackDown. Jelly Roll, Logan Paul kind of had some words. Randy Orton had some words for Logan Paul. Drew McIntyre got involved. It led to Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre at Saturday Night's Main Event. You Logan and Jelly Roll in the respective corners. Got a bit of physical during the match and after the match for sure. And we're setting up a big tag team match at SummerSlam between Randy Orton and Jelly Roll against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Jelly Roll's been training, guys, so this could be really interesting.
I'm not looking forward to that match, and here's hoping Jelly Roll proves me wrong.
Here's the thing. I don't think he's going to be heavily involved in the match. I think most of the stuff he's going to be doing is selling, which is fine. Don't forget, Logan Paul has surprised you in the past, and I think the big thing is Drew and Randy are going to carry.
Mm-hmm. No, they kind of sort of would have to.
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't need to be Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest in that Jelly Roll has to perform 20 minutes on his own.
I admit, I was impressed by Bad Bunny.
I mean, he basically made an entire pay-per-view in Backlash.
He did.
Yeah.
That's also what helped elevate Damian Priest to the main or to the main event, essentially, was helping and performing in that match as well. But I mean, all in all, McIntyre losing here didn't really hurt him because he got all of the heat immediately after the match. And absolutely did he get heat if you heard that crowd with what he did with Jelly Roll.
Yep.
The second he landed that claymore, people were on him.
Well, they rushed him to the back pretty quick, that's for sure.
But, I mean, Drew knew his role, and honestly, being in a match that's going to get eyes because it's involving Jelly Roll and Logan Paul, not a bad thing, especially if it was going to be just Drew versus Randy possibly as a stand-up match. It's like, okay, that's cool, it's a match, but the fact that you put the other two in the match, and like I said, it's going to draw eyes. As a performer, I'm willing to bet they're both like, okay, all right, cool, I'll do that.
You got to wonder what kind of a crossover Jelly Roll was going
to
bring.
Jelly Roll's a big star. I mean, he's going to bring some people and eyeballs to the show.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We're in agreement then.
Well, I was going to say, it's the same thing with when you hear Logan Paul is involved in a match. I mean, as much as we're like, oh, you know, he's stepped up as a performer. If you hear Logan Paul is involved, admit it. You kind of want to see the match because you kind of want to see him get his ass kicked.
There's no kind of wanna about it.
Right. It's like, okay, Logan Paul's going up against this guy. I want to see him get, you know, stomped into the mat a few times. Let's go. Let's watch this.
As far as Logan Paul goes, sure, put him in the ring against any other wrestler, and he'll hold his own and not look absolutely terrible. I just don't want a lot of I don't want a lot of interaction between him and Jelly Roll, because I don't think he's at the point where he could carry it.
The man says in chat, he hopes Drew wins at Slam, because for him to come back and go on a losing streak seems like an odd choice. It doesn't necessarily mean that he has, you know, the wins and losses matter here. It's if Drew's meant to be a mean heel, and he's beating the hell out of Jelly Roll at every opportunity, then he's doing his job and he's advancing himself.
Mm-hmm. Heels are
because you can
lose.
Always put wins on him if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, wins, yes, they are important in terms of sometimes advancing people, but in certain instances, being good in a loss can do just as good, if not more, because you're advancing stuff even further.
Mm-hmm. And especially because this is a big opportunity. This is a featured match on the show, the celebrity match. It's the match that's going to get the most attention. So even if you come out with a loss, it's not going to hurt Drew. Drew's a great talker. He could talk himself out of the loss. That's how easy it is.
More importantly, it is a match on your second biggest show.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that could happen, you aren't even booked for the second biggest show for the company year.
A two-night show, mind you, too.
Right. So, in theory, there's going to be 14 matches, roughly, that's going to make up the SummerSlam card. If you can get on that card, congrats. Good job. You did it.
Well, and we've seen in the past that celebrity matches don't necessarily hurt people. If you look at like Sami Zayn's match. Yeah. It's, you know, his match against Johnny Knoxville, while it was, you know, full of comedy, it was still very well done and super entertaining. And like, we know that Drew is able to, he's very versatile, even though he's, most of us know him as like the guy who can kind of runs around and he, you know, has insane banger matches with Sheamus and Gunther and all that other stuff. But like, he can do fun stuff and still be okay. I'm not worried about him.
I was going to say that a perfect example that you just brought up was Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn. The fact that Sami Zayn put together that match and performed it to the best of his ability that he did, you could make the argument that's what set him up for things like the run with the Bloodline. Because it's, if he can do that, shit, he's a good worker, he's entertaining, he drew the fans in with that match. Let's elevate him. Let's put him in possibly our biggest storyline that's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So we'll see that showdown come up at SummerSlam. But the big story as well coming out of the show, Goldberg's final match.
Oh,
how Tim, do you really feel, Tim?
Tell us, Tim.
I'm glad it's his final match, and we don't have any more contractual obligations to have to worry about. I'm not a huge Goldberg fan.
But they did this right, though.
Yeah.
They brought in old WCW people. They, throughout the night, they showed highlights and moments from his career.
Doug Dillinger and Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yeah, Ernest the Cat Miller and Doug Dillinger did the knock on the door. It was his son doing the entrance with like the walk to the ring with him or to the girl position with him. That was cool. Like, they built it up right.
Well, and they also built it up. Like, I mean, if you listen to all of us in the when we were previewing this, we're all like, God, we hope he doesn't win. But like, they booked it in a way that had people wondering if he actually was going to win this match or not. So like, regardless of like how you feel about, you know, Goldberg winning a championship in this era at this time, it was put together and booked really solidly to get people to like just for a second consider, well, what if it actually happens?
Gunther makes it really believable. He has ability to like just draw it out where it's like there's a chance. The baby, like with when it was with Pat too, like there's a chance.
Well, and the one thing I do like about the build up to it was, you know, throughout the night, it's Goldberg's retirement match, and they're subtly putting stuff out there that if Goldberg was to win, it's he overcame a lot of different things. The fact that, you know, 20 plus years ago, he won the title here in Atlanta. So instantly it's like, okay, yeah, he's older. You know, don't forget there's the shoulder injury. There's the knee injury that he's having to deal with. So they're planting these seeds in your head of like, okay, if he loses, because we all remember him as a dominant force, here's some of the things possibly why. If he wins, look at all the stuff he overcame. And I think psychologically they did good setting that up. I think Gunther did well in terms of like physically in the match, doing things to help get through the match. Because I messaged Rock when Goldberg came out, I looked down at the clock and I went, oh God, there's a lot of time. This match is going to go on for a bit. And we know Goldberg is not built for those kinds of matches. But I think Gunther did enough through things to be able to make it feel palatable as a match, as opposed to we're absolutely drawing this out, if you know what I mean.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much how that goes. And now we gear up for Gunther's next championship defense. We find out his opponent tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. It's a gauntlet match. 5 contenders. Only one can walk out. It's Bron Breakker, Penta, Jey Uso, CM Punk, and LA Knight.
I mean, you could have a worse match, right?
That's got to go at least, what, an hour on the show tomorrow night? At least?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anyone who's like, they're eliminated in 2 minutes. Like, people are going to get some work in.
You go at least 45 to an hour for that. That's an easy show written. It's like, all right, cool, we got an hour filled of 2.5 hours. Sweet. What do we do with the rest of that time?
But yeah, this possibly is one of those big things of like, okay, we need to make some alterations, folks.
I don't know.
What do we do? 5-man gauntlet?
I don't know if it is. because I don't know if Rollins was going to be fighting Gunther for the title at SummerSlam.
Well, I don't know if Rollins was going to fight Gunther for the title, but whatever Rollins was going to do may have been wrapped up with a few people in this match. So it's that kind of thing of, though Gunther may not have been the direct focus, the secondary storyline could have been submarined by what happened.
And
so you throw them in as part of the gauntlet.
I mean, that's fair. Is this Punk's match to win?
I've been thinking that it is.
Oh God.
What are you oh-godding?
Let's say Punk wins.
Yeah, it's Punk and Gunther for the world title.
Right. Let's say Punk wins that.
Yeah.
When someone is ready to come back.
It's right there.
They have the case.
Yep.
And the person they hate most in the world right there with it.
You see, I told you that the injury was a work.
Oh, no, I don't even think it's still a work, but holy shit, the storyline that you can have from this.
The fucking thing just wrote itself with as of last night.
Because just picture Seth being that cocky, smug son of a bitch, and like, I can take everything from you, Punk. Oh, God. Why do they make me want that? Brock knows I like chaos, and that's the ultimate kind of chaos.
It's out there.
Damn it. But yeah, no, honestly, like, if that happens, if Seth can come back in, if his knee isn't that bad, and it's only going to take a few months, boom, you can do that. If it's going to take longer, and you happen to draw out a CM Punk title reign, I don't think people are going to complain about that. And plus, Punk can have some good matches in between for whenever Seth comes back. Or, you don't even have to do that part of it. You can have Seth cash in on whoever when he comes back, and then Punk is still sitting there as a title contender, or Punk costs him the title cash-in when the time comes. Either way, you have a couple of opportunities that can come from this involving people that have built storylines with them already.
Things are heating up, as they say, Cash?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, the injury is unfortunate, and like, I mean, he just won the case. There is a possibility that he won't necessarily have to give it up, and he might be able to make it back. But on the other side, if he doesn't, it makes things very, very unpredictable.
That's one thing I was just going to say. The thing that I absolutely like about this, and it is unfortunate that Seth got hurt, but it does throw unpredictability into the mix. And that's something that a lot of people, I think, take for granted. It's like, oh, well, I can absolutely see where this is going. And we know, I mean, we're all internet wrestling fans. We're jaded. We're like, you know, oh, I know where this storyline is. And if it doesn't go the way I like it, then it's not good. Not saying that's all of us, but that's the culture. But the fact that, you know, a monkey wrench may have been thrown in, and that all of a sudden it's like, yes, we don't know what's going to happen next, in my opinion, makes it a little more exciting, because it's like, we just don't know, and we have to watch what happens.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see where it goes. I mean, like you say, like, it sucks that he got injured, and it sucks that he was such like an integral part of the major fabric of what's been going on in WWE, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with the Bronze and Paul Heyman if Seth is out for a long period of time. But just like, not knowing how that whole picture is going to play out is kind of fun.
It's going to make television really, really interesting.
Yeah, it makes it much more much watch.
Indeed. but that Saturday night's main event in a nutshell. Brent has a little bit of housekeeping to get through for the
show. Oh yes,
show.
More housekeeping, because God, we had a lot of picks this week.
We did.
And I have to finish up Evolutions before Thursday and send it to you. Oh God.
Yeah, yes, you do.
I only have the last match to grade out, so I have them all down. I just need to like put the final tally on. But yeah. Everyone lost the main event. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, everyone did.
Everyone picked wrong because no one had Naomi.
No one had Naomi winning the main event. That is...
Had 11 people picking.
Okay.
Tied for ninth place, going 1-3, was 2/3 of the people on this call. Myself, Casey, and Sarah all went 1-3.
Yay.
Okay.
I think some of that was some wishful thinking and some fantasy booking we had, and it just didn't turn out. I blame Seth Rollins for it, honestly, because he could have cashed in on Saturday night, for all we know. Tied for third place, going 2-2, so 500. This shows you how good we all did. We have Lindsay, Rock, Rob, Tim, and then both the 8-Ball and the Magical Wheel of Fun. So, tied for first place at 3-1, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, we had Tommy C and Subway.
I mean, there you go.
Hey, a broken clock is still right twice a day.
We all lost to Subway.
I reiterate what Casey just said.
I reiterate, we all lost to Subway.
And the guy, I'd like to point out, there's a song by Tom Petty that covers this.
Him. We lost to the guy who we told had a night off last night, and he still showed up relatively on time.
That did happen. Yeah, that happened. That happened. But, yeah. But hey, none of us are AEW experts, though.
Oh, no, the AEW expert did defend her crown, so congratulations to Lindsay Ward finishing first place on All In Picks.
Woo! Where'd I finish?
Hang on just a second.
I think
you, I never found the shit out.
I'm waiting to see Lindsay's reaction. There it is.
There it is.
Yes, sir. Hi, Lindsay. Tim, you finished tied for sixth with Subway going 5-7.
Boo.
And Casey finished just below that going 4-8.
Ooh. I don't feel as bad. Sorry, Casey.
No, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
But that's our show.
That's it. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed Saturday night's main event and us talking about it. Everything kicks off for another week starting tomorrow night, immediately following Raw.
This is the Raw Post Show. It's live. 10:30 Eastern? We'll see. Close enough. Something like that. To talk all things Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and of course, a whole bunch of discussion and such will happen Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with another edition of The Rack with Lindsay Ward. Rock, you and Lindsay going to be talking Evolution?
We're talking Evolution this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, so we'll do the full recap then. Brent will have his homework in, hopefully, by then.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews. EA Sports presents College Football 26. That is available right now. Wherever you get your podcast, just search the Rack Radio Show. Then we're back Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of CB Radio. You can check out last night's episode of CB Radio, where we did 2-ish hours covering 8 hours. Of AEW All In Texas. So that's there. That's available. That was a long day of wrestling. But we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk news and professional wrestling, because there's no pay-per-view or PLE coming for at least a couple weeks. So it's a normal show next week.
Because everyone and their mother had a PLE or pay-per-view this weekend.
I know. Everything gets... So we get to catch up next week. Next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It is at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on social.
I am. Follow me on Twitter, X, whatever. At Flames Forums. And I post every day. Unlike Casey.
That's right. I post the opposite of Tim. I'm his arch nemesis of posting. But if you want to see nothing on social media from me, you can find me at Kyle Driver.
Brent makes friends.
I was going to say, me, on the other hand, tends to post during certain shows, and I make friends for opinions I have based upon wrestling. If you want to see what they are, you can find me on Twitter/X. Threads, Instagram, and Blue Sky at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens, because, boy, I've got some opinions, apparently.
Shout out as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support. Shout by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use carrier code RocketSock in the Fortnite shop or Epic Games Store, because hashtag Epic Partner. Tim, send us home.
Yeah, everybody, have yourselves a fantastic week. Catch you next Sunday night for another edition WTR Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com.